Have you seen retail AI? For sure you have.
Yeah.
When I did the demo last week, like they were setting up like a dental appointment. I would try to, you know, throw it off. Like it was perfect. Right? I was like, imagine if you can build this at scale now. They can take the call with the lead. They can then set up the next call. And then also the lead might say, oh, I need to reschedule. They can handle all the rescheduling. It'll probably get to a point where eventually it can just close the customer too. I think that's going to be a big thing because you saw the Klarna report like 2 days ago. They think they're going to add $40 million in profit because they added like 700 new agents, AI agents. So how are we not going to go into this world?
It is so good to see you.
Yeah. Been seeing you for a couple hours already. But likewise.
We just recorded Eric's podcast right before this.
Yeah,
but
Greg did great.
I had to bring you on for a few ideas that you had, and you've been gracious to write down a few ideas.
Yeah, no. Great questions.
And I got them right here.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot. But let's start with this pay-per-performance agency. Why is that a business idea that's exciting you right now? Because when I hear pay-per-performance, I'm like, hasn't it been done before? Like, why is pay-per-performance an interesting startup opportunity right now?
I'll give you two stories on this one. So one of my friends, his pay-for-performance agency does $80 million a year, $30 million in profit. And they have like 30 employees. And it's like, okay, well, that sounds, agency's a boring business. It doesn't scale well, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, like all he does is he focuses on one industry and just runs paid ads. He's really good at copywriting. They're really good at strategy. His co-founder is technical and they just build a lot of interesting things for people in that industry. And what they do is, let's say you are in the finance industry. I'll say, okay, well, how much are you winning the pay per customer? Like $500. I'll say, okay, we're going to run a test. We're going to run some traffic towards you. And if you like the customers, we can continue the conversation. But there's no need for long-term commitment. You only pay us if we perform. That's a good offer. And my whole thing is, as a marketer, if you're a good marketer, you would charge on performance, right? But most people aren't willing to take the risk. And I've always wanted to emulate that model. And so I don't think pay for performance will ever go away. In fact, I think, you know, we can go towards like smart contracts. I think it's going to get even crazier, right? The best marketers are going to capture like even more value.
I also think that in like an AI world where an AI and just like data world, the marketer has more data. Mm-hmm. So they're able to underwrite.
Yep.
And be like, okay, we're willing to bet on this particular opportunity, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. And here's the other thing. Yes, and like imagine all the stuff you're going to be able to build, which we might get into. Yeah. But there's another pay-for-performance agency. They focus on telecoms. And I think they're probably doing over $1 billion in revenue now. And one of the guys I used to work with at another agency a long time ago, he was one of their early employees. And they were like not really doing much in the beginning. I think they were doing like $2 million a year. And then they started to do this pay-for-performance thing, tongue twister, where they would basically drive you leads through Google Ads and then they'd get paid for the leads. Eventually, what they did was they got bigger. They started acquiring call centers and then they would basically just gift wrap a customer for you. And then a bunch of private equity like invested, but they just gift wrap customers for like AT&T, Verizon, you know, all these like T-Mobile and all that now. And so I think it's a big opportunity because there's not a lot of capital expenditures to set it all up.
I feel like a lot of people have done pay per performance in the lead space. Is that correct? Like insurance leads, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you want to go into a space where they'll pay you a lot per lead.
Right. Yeah. So what other spaces would be interesting?
I think finance depends on like, you know, I think there are a lot of crypto companies reaching out to us right now. A lot of the biggest exchanges, they all want to do pay for performance and, you know, there's money in crypto.
Right.
AI is a very broad space. I think you need to focus on the actual industry. You can't just say SaaS or AI. It's got to be like, you know, for like hotels would be another example, right? It just, wherever they're going to pay high CPAs.
Right. Yeah. So you just make a list of industries that are paying high CPAs and then create a brand, a landing page.
Yep. And you test it. And like my friend, by the way, what he does is he creates a lot of different brands. So he might have like 20 different websites, like, you know, California Hotel Group or something, or Florida Hotel Group. And he just drives traffic there. Because like if I'm working with you and you decide you want to screw us or something, sure, you can cut us off, but we'll just go to your competitor.
Right.
And so the relationship is a lot more balanced now.
I like it. I feel like, you know, a lot of the affiliate world does a lot of this paper.
This is basically affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
But the way he does it and the way these, like, these are actual businesses.
Yeah.
They're not doing it in like dirty ways. And they're not doing it like, they won't do anything it takes to get the conversion.
Other startup idea that you've been thinking a little bit about is AI agents. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what sort of agents, well, maybe explain what an agent is and, yeah, and why you're interested in it.
So have you seen retail AI? For sure you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
tell people what it is.
Retail AI is, it's like a, it's basically like a voice LLM, right? And yep, you can basically, when I did the demo last week, it was with, like they were setting up like a dental appointment. It's like, what's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And it, like, I would try to, you know, throw it off. Like, it was perfect, right? I was like, it's like, oh, when
you
do you
would,
have,
Eric. Yeah. You would try to throw it
off.
Yeah,
it's like, when do you want to have a call? Or like, when do you want to meet? I was like, never. And she's like, oh, okay, well, let us know when you want to meet. And then boom, hang up, right? And so imagine if you can build this at scale now, these agents at scale for companies where they can take the call with a lead.
Yeah.
They can then set up the next call. And then also the lead might say, oh, I need to reschedule. They can handle all the rescheduling. So there's a tool called scheduler.ai. They've actually gotten really good at rescheduling calls now. Combine those two, right? It'll probably get to a point where eventually it can just close the customer too, especially if it's SaaS, or help a customer, or try to set up phone calls to move over to your AEs. I think that's going to be a big thing because you saw the Klarna report like 2 days ago. It's like what they added, they think they're going to add $40 million in profit because they added like 700 new agents, AI agents, and they handled like 2.3 million chats and like, I don't know, like 80 to 90% faster. So how are we not going to go into this world?
I also think there's a huge opportunity to just go to companies with big customer service teams, mm-hmm, and be like, going back to your pay performance thing, it's like, we're about to save you $2 million a month. Give us a percentage of that by using agents for customer service.
So I was thinking on like exactly the taking the percentage piece, but then I listened to a podcast episode. I think it was My First Million.
Yep.
And a smart bear. God, what's his name again? The guy that founded WP Engine. James Cohen, maybe? Something like that.
The WP Engine guy.
Yeah, the WP Engine guy. So this guy, he, and as I was thinking about this, he was like, yeah, you guys might as well just, like, you can either try to save a company money and take a percentage there, or you can just go straight for the value and you'll capture like 4 to 8 times more. And I'm like, that was the thing that was kind of like bugging me in the back of my head.
But go for the value? What does he mean by that?
He just like, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to save you money, it's like, no, I'm going to get you like X more customers or something like that. And just charge them like upfront like that. But like, I had this like little like twist, like a little knot in the back of my mind, and like he just like unknotted it. So
yeah, a good podcast line sometimes that does that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think contingency lawyers, right? Like lawyers who will say, yeah, I'll take your case, but I want 50% of the money I get. I think
if you can take a fat percentage, that'd
fat
be awesome.
Percentage, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is probably the move. Yeah.
I also think that if you're trying to start like something like an AI customer service agency like that, mm-hmm, sometimes it's really helpful to start at a percentage of cost savings and then you can move to something else.
Yeah. Or I think to your point, I think if you want to de-risk yourself, the entrepreneur wants to de-risk himself, maybe there's a base cost first, just so there's some skin in the game. Because I've seen a lot of situations where people will save money and then like they just will stiff them and they just won't pay the money. So
I think there's an opportunity to create a pay-per-performance conversion rate optimization agency.
You know, there's actually a pay-for-performance CRO agency based in Atlanta. I think I forgot their name. Spiralize, that's their name. And let's say your e-com conversion rate's 1% right now. I'm like, okay, well, if we double it to 2%, how much money is that worth? Well, $25 million. It's like, okay, well, we're going to take $2.5 million on that 10%. Is that fair? Oh, yeah, it's fair. And that's what they do. They just take a spread.
That I think is a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the move. Yeah. And then you start laying on smart contracts and everything, which is, we're still probably like 5-10 years out.
How do you see smart contracts playing a role in that?
Well, I think like Chainlink is moving. They do a lot of stuff in enterprise, right? Yep. And so like I think the way I imagine it working is like, okay, we have an agreement. If we hit these numbers for you, this money goes into escrow, and you know, it's released to us, like a portion's released to us if we hit these numbers. If we don't by this time period, then the money goes back to the customer. And then it's like, it's very transparent and it's fair and it doesn't, there's no anxiety on either side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like smart contracts is going to be like something like that, such an obvious, you know,
use case. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like speculation, yeah. Bitcoin speculation, Bitcoin yeah. goes up and like smart contracts like that, something, mm-hmm. you know, I don't need to trust a third party. That's where I think crypto yeah. is really interesting.
That's why DeFi works so well.
Yeah. That's why DeFi yeah. works so well.
Yeah. Do you have any other smart contract ideas?
Well, I think also just in general, like with agencies, like, yeah. I don't know about you, but, you know, we've had two clients who just didn't pay us because of financial difficulties. Mm-hmm. And one of them particularly is like a huge company. Mm. Now, if it was a smart contract, like we did our work, we delivered it. They actually loved it. Mm-hmm. If the money was in an account, it just got like escrowed into our account. Yeah. But what ended up happening was they hit some hard times and there was a bunch of debt that they had to pay off. So yeah, I'm interested in smart contracts plus service providers.
Yeah. So are they like ignoring you now?
No, they're just ignoring us. It sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like what would you do, honestly?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do in a situation like that?
I think even if you sue them, it doesn't matter because it takes forever anyway. Yeah. And then they, you know, there's like appeals and everything. And it's like, this is why smart contracts need to happen. But I think I'll give you another example with how we actually built something internally for my agency.
Yeah.
I bought the domain for it, incentive.soul, right? And yep. So you can, like, my whole thing in we're talking a little bit ago about how we see life as a game, or at least I see life as a game.
Yep.
And then if that's the case, then how do we just gamify everything? And so, you know, we have these things, we have an employee engagement tool called 15-5, and it's like, if you fill that out on time each week, you know, by end of day, like, you know, you get $1 or $2 in Solana, right? Or if like you get like a really high rating from someone, or you complete all these deadlines in your Asana, like a lot of stuff is trackable through APIs, but you can give people little micro incentives. And then a leaderboard gets created. You can see who's getting the most stuff done or whatever. You can see who's lagging behind. And that's also grounds for like who should be promoted and who shouldn't, and maybe who should be cut to. And that increased our engagement on a lot of these tools by like, I think it was like 77%.
Crazy.
We had it going and we still have the code and everything, but it's like, I'm just really, you know, we got to focus, right? So eventually I'll probably come back to it. But yeah.
Did you see the Apple Vision Pro demo of someone vacuuming?
Yeah.
And there's just like coins and they're like vacuuming the coins. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of that?
I think that's awesome. And now imagine if you can reward your kids and based on how many coins they collect.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
That for sure is going to happen.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
Like it's going to work. Like,
kids want to play.
I wanted to play.
Yeah.
I was looking at it.
Yeah.
I was like.
It gave me. Yeah. It's like. It was like in Mario when you're trying to get all the coins, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
What other boring parts of life can we gamify?
Okay, well, I mean, you're married, so it's like, you know, you probably get asked to take the trash out all the time, right? So it's like
I do actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like gamify all the things that you want your spouse to do, and there's little micro rewards. It maybe doesn't have to be money, it can be something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what else? What else can we get rewarded by?
Maybe it's like I'd imagine like all like your favorite stores are going to have like little coins. And so maybe you get an Amazon coin or something.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I like it.
The question is who's going to build? I mean, maybe you would just build all this stuff. Like, let me know if you build all this stuff. So,
yeah. Well, who's going to build it? I think it's like, it's an interesting time with spatial computing is because like it's early. Apple said they're going to sell 500,000 units in the next 12 months.
Isn't it breaking that?
They're going to break. Yeah. I think they said 400 and now it's 500. It might be 600.
Yeah.
Point is, I think it's like, even if you got 10% of that, right? It's like still not huge.
Right.
So I think on one hand, it's a small market. But on the other hand, now's the time to sort of get the reps in.
Yeah. Smartphones were a really small market at some point.
Exactly.
I mean, but what we talked about maybe like an hour ago or so is like the with AI copilots and everything, like developers are becoming 4 to 8x more effective. And yep. so you can probably build a lot of this stuff. As long as you have the vision.
And the taste.
Yeah. Yeah. The taste. Yes.
Yeah. You need to have the taste. I mean, when I was watching that demo of the vacuum, like the sounds and the way the coins looked.
Mm-hmm. It felt good.
It felt good.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what a good product does, right? Like think of like the difference of when you close a door on a, I don't know, a Rolls Royce versus a Honda Civic, the sound is going to be different.
Never heard a Rolls Royce close. Yeah.
Neither have I, but I imagine it's pretty sick.
I get it. Yeah, it's like a crisper sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I drive a Volvo. Yeah. You've been in my car.
You took me home. Yeah, yeah. From poker. Yeah, thank you for that.
It's not the nicest car on the planet. It's about 10 years old, but it's safe. Those safety features, like I once was driving and someone like ran across and it stopped. My car stopped.
Oh, like
automatically.
Automatically. Okay, got it.
And those are the little things, right? And that's what great product design is.
Mm-hmm. Totally with you.
Yeah. What else is on your mind?
I mean, do you pay for like a longevity practitioner or anything like that?
I don't, but should I?
Okay. Well, let me tell you my pain in the ass story right now. So I'm happy to introduce you to these guys. Every quarter, they'll draw like 10 vials of my blood and they'll tell you like all my metrics. But then it's automatically, inevitably, what happens is, oh, you need to have all these supplements now. I'm just like, dude. And then it costs you like, you know, a lot of money too.
How much is a lot of money? Like,
so like the last invoice I got was like $5,000. Mm. And like one of the supplements alone was like $2,800. I was like, can I just like take that out? But my markers have gotten a lot better. I think the trouble with that is like, it's still a lot of manual work. And so I'm just like, well, how can I just have like, imagine like levels, right? Like it's kind of stuck in you, but like ongoing biometrics, it's scanning you every day. It's coming up with recommendations for you. And then maybe it's like auto ordering for you too. And maybe it's using like Mark Cuban's like cost plus drugs thing where the drugs are a lot cheaper because all this stuff is marked up. And you know, I think if you can do deep discounts with this and have it be more, less of a pain in the ass, a better user experience, I think you're going to get a lot more people. Like a lot more people are caring about their sleep now. A lot less people are going to clubs.
Yeah.
So this is just, I think this space is just going to get a lot bigger.
I mean, anything to do with sleep, just in general, like is, I mean, that's what we've learned, right? Is like sleep is such a big driver of health and wellness. And like you can literally die if you don't get good sleep.
Dude, kids now, like the, I don't know if you saw this, but the sleep scores are like, people are sleeping earlier now, and then like the sleep scores are getting better. People aren't drinking as much alcohol. It's like all the education that's happening. Like I think the world's trending towards healthier now. Like, Dr. Peter Attia, Dr. Andrew Huberman.
Yeah, right? But those guys, like Attia, isn't he like charged like a up the wazoo to be like how do we get up, you know, Attia in your pocket? And you know what I mean? Like it feels like yes, Huberman does a free podcast, so you can learn that way.
Yeah.
But
so haven't you seen this Dexa.ai where they just like scan everyone's podcast and then you can just, it's like a little LLM. You can just ask questions.
Okay.
I don't know how legal that's going to be in the future, but that's what's happening right now. They're just scanning all of Huberman stuff. Peter Attia's podcast, The Drive.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff is free and then he has some of the paid stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a health idea.
Yeah.
So I recently got a night guard.
What's that?
So it's a mouth guard that I sleep at night with because I grind my teeth. I think because I drink too much caffeine or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, turns out like it's very, like a shocking amount of people wear night guards in the US.
It's just to stop the teeth grinding.
It's like basically a plastic thing that, you know.
It's not annoying?
It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's totally annoying.
Yeah.
So yeah, idea number one, make a less annoying night guard. Okay. Big market. But no, the real idea is I heard about someone who would put whitening in their night guard so that when they're sleeping,
it whitens
their teeth.
Okay. Interesting.
There's the idea.
I like it. And so with the night guard, are you like using your mouth to breathe when you sleep or?
I mean, I try to sleep with my mouth closed. Mm-hmm. Just because apparently it's better for you.
Yeah.
The night guard, I mean, it's basically just plastic. It's like a plastic thing that goes over your teeth.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's complaining about microplastics, right? So how do you, you can solve for the microplastic piece, the whitening piece.
Totally.
And then what I do, this is combining our habits. I've been wearing sleep tape for like 7 to 8 years before it even became cool. And like that forces me to use my nose to breathe. So all three of those things, I think you're good. Because didn't Sam and Sean talk about that mouth tape business that does like $14 million a year?
Yep.
That's just good messaging and good storytelling and good branding.
Totally. And what's it called? Hostage tape?
Hostage tape.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what other opportunities exist where the product exists already and you just have to
rebrand it. Yeah. I mean, all over the place. Okay. Like, okay, I'm Asian, right? So I like...
You're Asian?
Yeah. Well, you guys can't see me on the video. But like Asians like wearing slippers. Like that's my point. And so how do you create like a better version of slippers? Like the Americanized versions, like we like wearing like bamboo slippers. Reason because like, you know, it's more airy. We'll just put it that way. But yeah. How do you brand something where it's like anti-sweat slippers? And bamboo is actually good for that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Someone should do that.
Bamboo linens became really big recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Is that like, what you use?
I don't, but I've used it in the past. I think there's a huge opportunity, like startup ideas wise, to see what's working in one culture and bring it to another culture.
Yeah, because each culture has like good habits.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Indian cultures, they're very, very like Buddhist, Zen. I mean, that's Asian cultures too.
I heard... I was just talking to someone about this, like the idea of a supper club, which is a place where you go for dinner that turns into a nightclub,
yeah,
is actually not that popular in America, but is popular in places like Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it a supper club? So I thought it was supper club, and then I heard on a podcast today, so someone said, a British person said super club.
Supper club.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, well, a British person must know English better than us. Yeah. So.
So anyway, continue.
Yeah. A Canadian and American. What do we know? But yeah, like this isn't an internet startup idea or anything, but like the idea around supper club, which like I said, like, you know, I remember in Montreal, I used to, you know, I went to a few of them where you'd sit, you go with a group of friends, you have dinner, and then they kind of like remove the chairs after and it kind of like people have drinks, stay around, some dance, whatever.
Yep.
It's like, okay, how do you bring that to another city, right? And it's interesting.
I think... You can combine that like we're now moving into community, so that piece for sure. Like I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But also like we talked about EO and YPO. What about EO for like certain community types, right? So like we know Sam started Hampton, but I know someone, he started Dental Entrepreneurs Organization, DEO.
Wow.
Right. And Neil and I, we just started Agency Owners Association.
Yeah.
Right. And I think people crave community, but it's like you need specific community too,
totally.
Right? And they're like YPO and EO, they've been around for a while. There's a lot of space, I think.
Totally, yeah. I have a friend who has a Hampton-like competitor called Benwise.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like for CTOs and CMOs.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Chief, remember that?
Yeah. Chief was for women entrepreneurs.
I think it's just women executives.
Women executives, that's right. So I think it's sort of like the unbundling of YPO.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, there's a ton of opportunity there. And the cool thing is it doesn't cost a lot of money to get going. Like what do you need? A brand, a landing page, and a vertical.
Yeah. Communities and agencies, like low capex.
Yes.
Good to go.
Yes. Yeah. Are you still bullish on, I mean, you run an agency.
Mm-hmm. I used to hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I come from working in tech, right? I'm like, oh, my poo-poo doesn't stink. I'm too good for a services business. But like, you know, the pod I do with Neil, like just looking at numbers, we talk all the time. And pre-2022, if you're at $5 million EBITDA, you can sell for 15 to 20 if your agency is really good, 15 to 20X. And so that's like a $100 million business if you wanted to sell. But then the other thing is, if your agency is doing, you know, $5, $10, $20 million in profit a year, that's an exit for you every single year.
Yeah.
And then you can sell later if you want. And so I think with my my founder buddies, the consensus now is like, no, like you want to build something generational. Forget a decade, like 20, 30 years. And we're just like, let's just keep compounding. And I think any business, like it's a boring business. It's not sexy, but it's also what I know. And like the audiences that I've created, like it just makes sense to funnel it into that. So it seems like the best engine. Mm-hmm. And then I can also build cool products and services, especially with AI being so deflationary. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And you can incubate software products. Yeah. I think, I mean, this Noah Kagan doesn't run an agency, but mm-hmm. I had him on the pod recently and he was, you know, he has AppSumo, mm-hmm. which is doing really well.
Yeah,
it's 80 million a year.
80 million a year.
But he's got all these like kind of SaaS software products that mm-hmm. he's spinning up on the side.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's use him as an example. It's like he had Sumo back in the day, the pop-up thing, and that quickly got up to 8 figures, I think.
Yeah.
But then it didn't work out. And then, but he had like a lot of things going on and he was sitting in that seat. And it was just like, you know, focus at the end of the day is he, I think he realized how important that was. And I think I've just got punched in the face so many times. I'm just like, things are a lot better when I just focus, you know?
Right.
So I'm just very bullish on agency. It seems like you're like that too. And you have your own model. It's like community first, which I think is genius, and then agency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Other than paper performance, any agency ideas or any spaces that you think over the next 12 to 18 months, there's opportunity to build in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll probably have the same mindset here. AI transformation agencies, like everybody, like digital transformation is still a thing right now.
Yeah.
Now it's AI transformation. Looking at Boring Marketer, right? Like AI assisted content.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see more agencies doing programmatic SEO too.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, you have this 1 to 2 year window where you can do it. And I think search just changes. I think we're going to see more. I think creative is becoming more and more of an X factor.
Yep.
And it's really hard to find a damn good creative agency.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I like it. Eric, where could people get more of your ideas?
Yeah. Just at Eric O S I U on Instagram or Twitter. Or you can just go to the search for Leveling Up Eric Sue on YouTube. And that's where I'll hang out too.
Amazing. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me.
Later.